and welcome to episode 4 of Girl Fight. As you may have noticed, we now have theme music.
Yay!
So we want to give...
Wow, we all sounded exactly the same.
Yeah. So, so our theme music is awesome, our intro music, and we have outro music as well, so be sure to listen to the whole thing. And we have to give a shout out to Michelle from computeher.com. She's the one who
did... .net.
.net. Yep. .net. Apologies. Computeher.net. She's the one who did the awesome music for us, so you should definitely go to her website and check out her work.
And she also does live shows, including one coming up in the Bay Area.
Yes.
I think she's based out of L.A., but yeah. So if you live in the Bay Area, you're interested in doing it, and we're considering doing a kind of a fun little thing, giving away tickets, but stay tuned for more details on that.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. So... May the 4th be with you.
Oh my God.
Oh,
it
no.
is. You said it.
You made a
I'm sorry.
I think they get it fixed too.
Nicole and I have actually both had, we had the same boss at different times in our lives who worked at LucasArts and was a just big general nerd overall and also loved puns.
Loved bad puns.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
So is this like a well known May the 4th be with you sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so much into the loop on that one.
He was very excited. So I did aim him this morning in Hightown, Byron, if you're listening, and say, may the 4th be with you. He was very excited. He was like, oh, that's right. I have to put that on my Facebook.
Last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fix me wonders.
That's funny. Yeah. Tom, he's a funny guy. Okay, so let's jump into it. I'm Nicole Tanner. I am your host. Today we're a little short on the gals, but you know people get busy and have to go to the dentist and things of that nature. So today I am joined by Christine Steimer and
Hello.
Dana Jungleward.
Hello.
And we're gonna start things off as we always do with what we're playing. So Christine, you want to start us off?
Well, you and I were both playing Halo. Reach beta last night.
Yes.
I was looking on my friends list. I'm like, who's playing that I would want to play with? And you loved it. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, there were a few of the guys, like Tal was on, I saw, and Pear was on, but they were like in another match. So they never popped up.
Really?
In my,
I saw that Pear was playing something completely different.
Oh,
maybe
really?
He switched over at some point. But,
maybe.
When I first started.
He was playing
there was,
a Barbie game,
wasn't
he?
Yeah. Barbie Horse Adventures.
Pear, we know your shameful secrets.
Yes.
But no, he was not really playing that. I think it was like Call of Duty or something. So then I found you and I was like, well, I'll join up with her. And I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's Halo.
It's Halo. Yeah. I mean, there's like different armor special abilities and things like that. But to me, it doesn't really feel that different than Halo 3.
Yeah. They just move the buttons around.
Yeah.
Like melee, not me anymore.
Right. Yes.
I have
Pro tip.
Downloaded the beta, even though I also have a code. And although I have an excuse, we were packing all weekend, so my gaming time currently limited.
Yes. Yes.
My only gaming is real life Tetris, which is box stacking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my major problem with, I guess, any multiplayer is that you have to invest so much time in it to get good at it.
Right.
And I'm not really willing to do that. So I'm going to jump into a match and get discouraged really easily because I'm killed
instantly.
Instantly. And, you know, someone's sneaking up behind you and you're like, what? How do I do that? Like,
yeah, right,
I don't
exactly.
Understand.
What's the problem with any multiplayer game is that there aren't, you know, like in situations like that, is that it's just really, it's really hard to get in a scenario where you're allowed the time and the practice you need to become good.
Right. Mm-hmm. There was one match where I kicked butt.
And I remember that.
Really fun.
Yeah.
I think the other players were asleep or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how I managed to.
Or they were complete noobs like us, or even more noobs like us. But both of us, I think we're killing a lot of people.
Like, dominating this one match. And I was like, well, this is fun.
Yeah.
And then after that, we started playing with way better players.
Oh, yeah.
And so then it was not so much fun anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not
that
a really...
That I don't like... what was the map called? Sword?
Sword Base, yeah. It's, like, the stupid thing for me, like, I jumped right into the game without looking at the little controller map and setting everything up the way that I wanted it. So my look sensitivity was, like, way too high. And it's like, whoo! all over the place. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't tell because of the map.
Right.
The ceiling and the floor look the same. And I'm like, I can't tell if I'm looking at the ceiling or the floor. And, you know, I'm sure people are looking at me and laughing their behinds off right now.
And then I paused it to like try and go look at the controls because I couldn't figure out for the longest time how to use my armor ability. Uh-huh. And that was because, well, I thought I was selecting the shield one where you go down on the ground and nothing can hurt you. I really had selected the sprinting one. So the reason why it wasn't working was because I wasn't moving. I was standing in one spot. And then I figured it out and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This actually does work. I was getting a little bit nervous there.
Yeah, that is one thing that's different about this one is every time you spawn, you have a chance to choose a loadout, which gives you a different type of armor ability.
Yeah, there's sprinting.
There's the sprinting.
There's armor that, you're indestructible.
There's a jetpack. Yeah.
And then there is stealth, so you're invisible.
Yeah.
But if you move, then you're more visible. Like, you become visible.
So it's like being a rogue in World of Warcraft.
Sure.
We'll take your word for that.
And say yes on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not a hardcore Halo fan,
so it was kind of hard. And not only that, but I just wish you could, I mean, maybe you can. We're probably complete noobs at this.
Yeah.
But trying to figure out a way where I can just hear Nicole.
Yeah.
And not anybody else, because I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
else.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, when you were in there, like, you weren't talking, so I was like, well, I'm just going to unplug my microphone, too.
Plugged in, I was like, Nicole?
Oh, I wasn't hearing you. Oh, okay.
So I don't think we were connected the way that we needed to be, but oh, well, we'll figure it out. Yeah. I'm sure that was our first time, so.
Yeah.
Fun. Well, maybe I can get a break from moving in there and come be massacred along with you guys.
Yay,
fun.
But then after that, once you left, and I realized that you left, because I think I played another match or two without you, and then went, wait, Nicole's gone. and then I put in a Splinter Cell and started that back up again.
Oh, that's cool.
So how far are you in it?
Pretty far. I'd say, like, not quite halfway, but almost there.
Okay.
That game was a lot of fun. Love killing people in it. Don't really care about the story.
Huh.
Like, I'm kind of... Bless you.
Sorry.
For those of you listening, there is some type of weird allergen that exists in our building, and people sneeze constantly all day.
Yeah, Megan went on a crazy binge yesterday. Like, I'm just like 27,000 sneezes in a row.
Yeah.
And I've had the same happen to me. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. But do you ever play? So I find, which is really bizarre to me, because story, like, I love story and other aspects of things. Video games, for the most part, I don't care about story.
Really?
It doesn't really do much for me. Like, people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe you gave that away. I'm like, who cares? Like, that's not a motivating factor for me to play a game.
It usually is for me.
Yeah.
Usually I cannot play a game unless it has a good story.
I'm the same way.
But this game, I know it's short. And it's a lot of fun to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, kind of cat and mouse them, you know? Like, oh, I'm going to run over here and then run back over here. You can't see me and I'm going to kill you. But the story, I really could care less.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about most games. If it's fun, great. If not,
Yeah, I mean, I'll be forgiving if the story is not fantastic, if the gameplay is fun. But if really, if the story is completely atrocious, as it is in my opinion, in lots of the Japanese RPGs, and I cannot do that.
Yeah, no. Well, especially when the story becomes like the focus, and you have to sit through cutscene after cutscene after cutscene, and people go on and on and on. That was the thing I hated most about the first Assassin's Creed, because I felt like there were only three types of cutscenes, and then you had a gazillion of them, and you couldn't skip past any of them. Unskippable cutscenes to me are one of the biggest crimes against games. I'm like, don't make me have to listen to all this crap, please. I would like to move on.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyone out there listening who works on rendering cutscenes for a living. I'm sure.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of people who like to, watch. I mean, I like to watch them too for a game that I'm into. But yeah, I agree with you. They should be skippable.
Like Assassin's Creed, it wasn't even the content. It was just that they took so long to say, and they were only like three different settings, and so like after a while, it was like you were having to watch the same cutscene over and over. You know, and it'd be like 5 minutes long, and like you could have conveyed all of this information in like 20 seconds. Like we didn't need it to be that long.
Oh yeah. That's the other cardinal sin is not putting checkpoints after the cutscene.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
That drives me mad.
Like, great, now I get to sit here and listen to this cutscene.
This cutscene that I didn't want to watch the first time.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, unfortunately, Zelda Spirit Tracks did that for the last boss. It's like, hello, you know you're going to die. It's a Zelda game, and it's the last boss.
Right.
And, oh, that was driving me nuts. Yeah, I don't know how many times I had to watch that.
Especially cutscenes on DS. You're like,
Well, it wasn't so much, I mean, it wasn't like a cutscene. It was one of those things where you had to tap through, you know, the dialogue. So, I'm sitting there, I'm just like, tap 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 tap.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that again because I wasn't looking.
Yeah,
yeah, that bothered me in Mass Effect too. That happened like right as you go into like the last area through the relay. You know, you have to pick certain people to go like on your mission with you. But I wanted to get it so everybody lived. In order to do that, I'd pick the wrong people in the beginning. Had to go back to before I'd even gone through the relay, watch the whole cutscene over again. I was like, come on. Just let me pick two other people when I'm already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very irritating.
Yeah.
Very irritating. Game developers, listen up. Advice.
Yes.
This annoys us. Please stop it.
So besides real life Tetris, what have you been playing, Tetris, Dana?
A little bit more Alan Wake. Still not a ton because I have not had much time, but a little more Alan Wake. Still scary, but in a good way. It's, you know, actually, I'll take it back. That story I'm finding pretty interesting.
Really?
I guess
Are you actually reading the pages that you find?
Oh, no, not that part. Like the actual games.
The games. Like the games. Got it.
Like, like, I don't, that's another thing I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's pretty good. I don't know, maybe games will become more about story for me. But I find even games that I like that I think have a good story, like the God of War games, like I found those very engaging and was very happy, like those cutscenes I found interesting. Mm-hmm. But it still wasn't why I was playing God of War. It was just kind of a happy bonus on top of it.
Yeah.
And speaking of, that was actually a fun thing. So we are getting ready to move, but my across-the-hall neighbor in our current place has a PS3, and so he'll come over every once in a while and borrow games. And so I guess he hasn't been over in quite a while because he came over and was like, oh, do you have anything that I could borrow since it's the last time? And I'd gotten the God of War collection 1 and 2, which he'd never played those games, and then I had Uncharted loaned to someone else the last time he'd come over, so I was able to loan him Uncharted 1 and 2, and then Infamous, and I was so jealous of him. I'm like, man, you're gonna go have some real fun gaming. Like, you haven't experienced any of this before. Like, you are a lucky boy right now.
Yeah.
So, gotta make sure he brings us back, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll bring him back.
Like,
I know where he lives. Yeah. Well, it's nice that I can do some sort of a reciprocation, too, because another guy who lives in the apartment... they seriously are the best neighbors ever. Another guy who lives in the apartment likes baking and but doesn't want it, you know, and then he will put it on a plate. He'll put out a stool with like a little cake plate on it and like put the baked goods. I mean, so sometimes it'll be cookies, sometimes it'll be cupcakes, and I'll walk out of my door and there will be baked goods waiting right there at the top of the stairs.
Why are you moving?
I don't know. I'm foolish.
Free baked goods?
We told Gordon, we were like, you should come over to our new house and do this.
That's like old school neighborly thing to do, like bake a pie and give it to your neighbors.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic. I will miss them a lot. So anyway, I feel I'm glad that I can at least loan him games to, even though he's not the one who does the baking. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else. No, mostly just iPhone. So, you know, Words with Friends on my iPhone a lot. So
Yeah.
Other than that.
Besides Halo Reach, I've been playing a lot of Picross 3D, which is super fun and very challenging.
About this last, we talked about this last time because everyone was very confused about the poor dog.
Yeah.
Why is there a dog?
No. So it's just a puzzle game. It's like 3D Sudoku, and I am currently on the level that is called easy. There is a beginner, easy, normal, and hard, and already these puzzles are pretty challenging. So I'm kind of scared to see what these normal and hard and ones hard. Are going to look like, because the last one that I did had, it was the cube itself was, I think, probably like 12 blocks by 12 blocks by 12 blocks, you know, like a square. And the thing that came out of it was really small. And so, you know, you don't have numbers on everything. It's just like, okay, there's zero in this row and there's one in this row, but you know, you don't know which one it is. And, you know, just like in Sudoku.
Right.
So, yeah. So, that's fun. It's challenging. It makes my commute go really, really quickly, which is nice.
That is good to know. I'll have to break out. My DS has been sitting on my desk, but I'll bust that out.
Yeah.
In the game.
And then the other game that I tried recently was Monster Hunter Tri, and I had never played any of the Monster Hunter games before, but it said on the back of the box, this is great for beginners to the series. So I thought, what the hell? I'll give it a try. We had it sitting on our desk for like forever.
Yeah, we did have it sitting on our desk for like forever.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it a try. And it's pretty cool. It's amusing to me, some of the setups for some of these games. Obviously, this is not a game that has a fantastic story. But it's it's totally amusing that, you know, the villagers in this town that's being wrecked by earthquakes, and they're being attacked by this giant sea monster, and they all just kind of sit there like, we don't know what to do. We need a hunter to come save us. Yes, exactly. And it just cracks me up. It's like there's this really tough old man that will make you weapons, and I don't understand why he can't use weapons himself.
He just said he's old.
But he's really tough.
He's retired. Yeah.
He used to use weapons.
He might have been. Maybe he was the hunter, but now he just takes
it gives you a chance
weapons.
To use your Wii.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It gives me a chance to use the Wii. It actually, for a Wii game, looks very nice.
Do
I was
have the,
very
classic
impressed.
Controller?
No, I've been using the regular. We have one sitting up on the desk, but I've just
Which
been using
came
the regular
with,
stuff.
The game.
Yeah, and I mean it works just fine. You know, with the Wiimote, it's not too complicated. It's not like you have to use all of the one and two buttons and you know all right. that stuff. So
speaking of Wii games, the other the Wii game that just showed up in the office, which I mean they're working on it now, but Super Mario Galaxy 2 just popped up in the office, and man, there was. Craig, the guy who was reviewing it for IGN, sits in my quadrant, and man, the boys just came running on over like the second that he booted up the Wii this morning. It was like,
to me, because we've all seen it like a million times already, you know.
Right. And it looks kind of like
Super Mario Galaxy.
The first one made me like sort of sick.
The planet
like,
thing was very, very...
Oh, my stomach. Like,
yep.
Couldn't do it.
Are you the one who has the same thing where you jump off buildings?
Yes.
And you're, yes, me too. I can't do that. Assassin's Creed, anytime I'd like do the leap of faith, I was like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, those boys, though, and their Mario.
Mario.
They love him.
They love him. Okay, so that's what we've been playing. I assume Megan's playing another JRPG. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to put her in a stereotype, but
we will.
And
she's not here to defend herself.
We love you, Megan, really. And Jess was running around this morning dressed up as Padme from Star Wars.
That she was. I know for a fact she was playing Splinter Cell last night as well, because I saw her on Xbox Live.
There you go.
There you go. So that's what they've been playing, even if we can't get their comments on it. So now we're going to move into our topic, which isn't quite as serious as some of the other topics that we've been dealing
with
lately.
We can be lighthearted.
And our topic comes down to a single word, and it's a word that can be very loaded, and that is the word gamer. And about the fact that certain people have certain definitions for the word. The word itself has a stigma attached to it from certain parts of society. And certain people cling to that word and that identity so fiercely that they are completely misunderstanding towards other people who might like to enter gaming as a hobby.
Gaming land.
Yes.
Gaming land. Yeah.
So you all know I've got a rant, but I wanted to let...
I kind of want you to go on your rant.
Yeah, go
okay.
for it. Okay. Do it.
All right. So I've been in this industry for a little over 8 years, which kind of tells my age a little bit.
Still younger than I am, dear.
Not by much,
Christine's smiling sheepishly as the baby in the room.
Yes. I'm not saying anything.
And, you know, I will say that things have gotten better during the time that I have been in mm-hmm. this industry. But there are still those people who, I'll call them the elitist gamers, who have a very specific definition of what a gamer is, and if you don't play a certain type of game, then you're just completely written off, and you're
or if you do play
another type of game, you're not a real gamer, or you're incompetent, or
you're
all this
baby gamer,
yeah, all that kind of stuff,
or a girl gamer,
yeah. Although, you know, interestingly enough, I guess it's not that interesting. It's kind of predictable. Mm-hmm. I have never run into this problem with guys. And I really think that the thing is that they meet a girl who plays a game and they're like, oh my God, it's a girl who plays a game. Woo!
Did we go out on Friday night?
Yeah.
I've never had that from a guy that I've met in person, but I have had it from guys just like online, you know, over the internet and stuff. When I've been working at various publications, I've definitely gotten it from them. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Continue on your
way. Yeah. So for me, I have had more grief from hardcore female gamers than anyone else. And that really just makes me irritated, angry, sad. It's like, come on, ladies, like, we're a minority.
Where's the love?
Exactly. Why do we have to put each other down? I mean, it just, like, I have a friend who, she doesn't do gaming journalism anymore, but she used to. Back when I was working at Game Now, went and on a panel for, like, women's and games, something or other. But it was all women on the panel, and all the other women just put her down because she liked Animal Crossing. And it was like, oh my God.
I love Animal Crossing.
I know, I love Animal Crossing, too.
But I imagine I would like it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just frustrating. And I've been to some women in games events where you get that type of thing. And if they're not, you know, snobbish about the type of games that you play, then they're bitching about how, you know, there's discrimination in the industry and blah, 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 blah. So. Yeah.
And you're making the stereotype worse by playing girl
yes,
games.
Exactly.
And quote unquote girl games.
Yes. My point is, my definition of gamer is anybody who plays a game. I don't care if you play Halo all day long or if you play Farmville all day long.
You're playing a game.
You're playing a game. You're still a gamer. It's not getting us anywhere by trying to divide ourselves, because that only just adds to the stigma that's already out there from people who don't play games, like this is a nerdy thing to do.
Right.
And, you know, one more thing. And then there was actually, it's so funny, there was an article that was on The Escapist today just about this very topic. It was written by Jason Della Rocca, who used to be the executive director of the International Game Developers Association.
Okay.
And now he is, I think he's just consulting and blogging. But he wrote an opinion piece about how he thinks the term gamer isn't even going to be around for that much longer. Because
it's like, I don't run around calling myself a reader.
Right.
Or a TV watcher. Well, I do call myself a couch potato because I kind of am. But,
that could also encompass games. You can be a couch potato playing games.
Yeah.
That just implies you're lazy.
Yes. Totally lazy. That is my natural habit. My natural state is definitely sedentary. I have to push to get myself to even walk upstairs.
Yeah.
Even to get out of bed.
Yeah, but his point is that, you know, as more and more people are playing games, like, you know, that word isn't going to mean anything anymore. And so to all those people out there, and you know who you are, that are clinging so desperately to this definition of a gamer has to be such and such and such, get over yourself. Because It's going to go away. You need to find another identity. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'm truly sorry. You know, I wish you could keep your little narrow view of the world forever, but it's not going to happen.
Because your husband's a big gamer, and that's really his preferred way to pass his time, like over yes. any other thing. Does he define himself as a gamer?
Probably right now he does, but it's not like the only thing in his life. Right. And he doesn't put other people down, at least not, he doesn't seriously put other people down for playing certain games. Yeah,
there's always that competitive spirit when you're
playing. Yeah. Like he jokes with me all the time. Like I've said on here, like, you play God of War on easy. Now you got to play it on hard, you know, or why are you playing Tomb Raider? Those games suck. You know, I mean, he does stuff like that to me. But, you know, it's all in jest. Yeah.
Your relationship with each other.
Exactly.
Right. You wouldn't go up to a stranger and be like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's the same way that, you know, I go, ugh, why are you watching Star Trek? It's so stupid.
So, hate mail incoming.
No, I actually, you know, in my defense, I have watched pretty much all of Star Trek The Next Generation because my husband made me, and he's currently making me sit through Deep Space Nine.
And what is he doing for you?
Exactly. Yeah. And Deep Space Nine it's kind of growing on me a little bit.
Interesting.
And he hasn't heard this yet, but I guess I'll hear it now.
Yeah.
Because he was convinced that, well, this one is better. You might like this one. And it still has bad acting, and
most of them do.
Melodramatic, and, you know, which is my big problem with it.
Which was Scott Bakula? Was that Next Generation?
Mm.
Which one had Scott? Was that?
Oh, no, I think that Voyager? Wasn't that the latest one? Like Enterprise or something?
I got forced to watch one of them by a guy I was then dating. Notice we're no longer together.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't why.
Yeah, but anyhow, so.
This movie, does that count?
So he does it jokingly, but.
Chris Pine's hot.
But not seriously. And so, And I just want to put one thing out there for the record, because it came up in a review of our podcast. The only reason that I played the Hannah Montana game was to get trophies for the IGN Trophy Whore War. And for the record, all the boys played it too. It wasn't just me. Okay, there.
I don't think you should have to clarify. I think that was basically the whole point of your rant, was that we shouldn't have to defend the games we play.
Yes.
Like, for example, I played Halo and Splinter Cell last night. I'm playing Harvest Moon on the PSP today.
Did you get that in already?
Yeah, we got it.
Oh. Do we get more than one copy?
I don't think so. We can get you one.
I'm going to have to. I know the PR person. I'll just have to bug her. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I'm playing that. I'm reviewing it. So.
Right.
It's like, what's. I don't know. I don't get what the big deal is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just. I mean, if people are enjoying it, I personally may not enjoy the other people's gaming selections, and I may find them ridiculous. Like Final Fantasy. I'm never, ever gonna get excited about playing them myself, and I might tease other people who do it, but it's like that's what they enjoy doing. And there's this weird sort of possessive like thing that it kind of seems like the very existence of games that don't fit this hardcore mold like are threatening,
right? Yeah, they're like an affront to the hardcore gaming existence.
It's like, because the Wii exists, therefore, you know, like it's threatening all shooters and stuff like that. It's this bizarre, which is just bizarre to me, because like I don't think anyone would look at and be like, oh my god, there's a new Pixar movie, that means there's one less Transformers sequel. No, I mean that's
right. Right, yeah. And I mean that's Modern Warfare.
I think we're allowed to say that, sure, why not?
Modern Warfare 2 came out after the Wii and was the best-selling game like ever. So, you know, that just proves that, you know, your shooters aren't going anywhere. There is room for everybody in this vast industry.
We just got to make room.
Yes.
Right. Well, and the more diverse the selection out there, then the more people who, you know, will have an entry point and a place to play.
And,
The more spouses you will be able to find.
Exactly. Yes.
More people, like, I just think that everybody gaining an interest in it is a good thing. Like
it is good. I mean, it'll spawn innovation. You'll find instead of getting the same old shooter every time, you're going to have people that are going to want to make really cool things that no one's seen before, you know, like a Katamari or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. And that's just good right. for the industry.
And yeah, and the more accessible games that there are, then the more gateway games there are. And so, yeah,
yes. exactly.
So they're easier to get people into.
Interested. Yes. In, right. You take baby steps along down the road because, yeah, as someone who did do it, the very first game that you have at your hands to pick up is a shooter and you're having to use all, I don't even know how many buttons are there in a controller.
A lot.
16 or yeah. whatever, you know, yeah, like it's a number.
It's very intimidating yeah. to like hand somebody that controller and be like, hey, you don't play like Halo with me?
Yeah.
Right.
And, you're like, not only that, but everybody gets so competitive with those things. It's mm-hmm. really a turnoff for somebody that yeah. is new mm-hmm. to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to get shot in the face over and over and over and over.
No. Yeah. It's not a fun feeling.
Yeah. yeah. And, you know, lots of people put down Facebook games, but they are single-handedly expanding this audience like mad.
See, mm-hmm.
I eat, sleep, and breathe that expanded audience title that we have.
Exactly.
So, people get like upset and be like, oh, you know, no one's going to want to make hardcore games if like that's where all the audience is. But everybody forgets the fact that people evolve as gamers. Mm-hmm. I evolved as a gamer. A few years ago, I hadn't played a first-person game at mm-hmm. all, ever. Mm-hmm. BioShock was the first-person game that I played. And the only reason I played it is because I thought the story sounded cool. And then, you know, I played Halo 3 on co-op with my husband, even though I thought that story was completely abysmal.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
anytime,
Halo
anytime
fans.
Anytime I hear anyone hold up the Halo thing as this paragon of awesome storiness, I'm like, no, it's not. It's the same old... Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and then, you know, we go and play Halo 3, like, online against our friends that still mm-hmm. live back in Chicago, and that was a lot of fun. And, you know, and then a few years before that, like, I was scared of anything 3D, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, it's all weird. I can't
There are
control.
Three dimensions. How
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
work.
Yeah. So all those people that are playing Farmville and all of those games right now, I mean, some of them will stay on Farmville for the rest of their lives. But I think the majority of them, as they get more familiar with games, are going to want to play more complex mm-hmm. games.
And to me, there's nothing more appealing than a person who will be bold about their things. And it's like, yeah, I do like playing Farmville, you know, in addition yeah. to this other stuff. So take that. I mean, I yeah. appreciate that. The people that I know, you know, some of my favorite people, like someone like we have a mutual friend, Carrie Shepherd, and
yes.
I love that she is just unabashed.
She's the one that got berated for liking yeah. Animal Crossing, by
yeah.
the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's unabashed about, you know, this is what I like. I yeah. really enjoy these things, and even if that makes me stereotypical girl, mm-hmm. like in my choices and my preferences, I don't care because I have fun doing this. So.
Yeah.
We all just want to have fun. Girls just want to have fun.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cindy,
she's crazy,
you.
Yeah.
She is
now.
Crazy.
Well, okay. Well, the reason I say this is because I was watching The Soup, and uh-huh. they had, like, the reality web clips or whatever, uh-huh. and they had a clip of her, and holy Lord.
Yeah.
She is taking a lot of drugs because she was not making any sense.
I don't think Cyndi Lauper has ever made any sense.
Yeah.
Well, I never yeah. really listened to her before.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I saw this clip. I was like,
that's
wow.
Her most popular album was called She's So Unusual.
Really?
Yes. I don't think that was
is
an accident. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. People, stop being mean to other people who play games just because they don't play the games that you like. Please, thank you.
Yeah.
We would really appreciate it.
Well, it's okay
it.
To do good-natured jesting.
Good-natured jesting
you know.
If you know the person. Yeah. Yeah. Especially...
Like, I always think my sister's taste in TV is awful. And
yeah.
Make fun of the fact that
I
she
mean,
owns Dharma and Greg.
Especially DVDs. On the person's, like, first exposure to games, like... You gotta really
gentle.
Be careful because you can turn them off to it really, really quickly. So be nice. And the other thing that you guys can do if you've got a girlfriend around that is like, I don't like games, why do you play those games? Be conscious of how you are behaving when you play the game. Because if you're getting all pissed off and swearing and throwing your controller... That, it doesn't
do,
look yeah, it's
which
fun.
We
yeah,
do
yeah, we
do
it now.
Times, but yes, there is.
But
Yeah.
But someone who doesn't
do that, you're kind of like, they don't look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Why would I want to participate?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Or I don't want to be at the receiving end of all of that negativity if we're playing right. something together and I happen to die.
Yeah. It's stressful being around someone who, yeah. Like even when Brian will occasionally be, I mean, because he's a very controlled person overall and doesn't really, but every once in a while I'll hear like, and, yeah. You know, usually several expletives following
it. That's what I was doing all last night. Yeah. I'm just swearing on the TV.
You know, the game that I swore most playing most recently was... it was New Super Mario Brothers on Wii when I was
really?
At home, and I was swearing my head off with my, and we were playing it at night with my brother and my husband, and we were working our way on through, but then we flipped it on like during the daytime when my nephew was up, and it was so hard to watch
not.
My mouth.
Oh,
I was
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, yeah.
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 Yeah. I think I swore the most during Splosion Man, and I was playing co-op with Mike, one of my roommates, and we were just like going at it, yelling at the top of our lungs.
Nice.
We're having a great time. But
yeah. Speaking of swearing, I'm going to segue. I know we got
we had a question.
That's right. Yeah. Do you have it right in front of you there?
I do, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So this
is our friend Colette.
Our friend Colette, who was disappointed in our answers about how we handle rude people in multiplayer. Sorry. But
she
really
was just disappointed, I think, that we didn't have a good solution, or was she disappointed?
She's disappointed
experience
like that we didn't, yeah.
That we kind of gave up on it, but
okay. But honestly, I would have more. I always have more fun playing with my friends.
Yeah, I would never have fun playing with random people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she tossed us another question about swearing. Everyone has their pet curses for when a game pisses them off. What are your faves that mm-hmm. you use or have heard? And I have a really funny story about mm-hmm. this. So back when I was working at Game Now, Nintendo re-released Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time mm-hmm. for the GameCube, which was previously on N64. And I had not played it before then. So I was playing it on the GameCube, and I was at a boss. And, you know, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has played Zelda. Mm-hmm. But you know that there are the little clay pots sitting everywhere that you break and you get, you know, your things from. So mm-hmm. I'm playing this boss, and I'm down to half a heart in my life, mm-hmm. and I go up and hit a clay pot, and no hearts come out, just the mm-hmm. rupees.
Oh, no.
And I yelled really loud, rupees! And my husband was sitting right there, and he just lost it. And so now that has become our staple of swearing
Sweet.
At games is rupees!
That's awesome.
Have a fun one like
Mine
that.
Is, I don't have a fun one.
But, well, I have a good story. It's not really anything I've used since, but the first time playing GTA, I don't remember which one it was. It was on the PS2. My friend had it in college, and I was like, oh, cool, what's mm-hmm. this? That was when I was in my game hibernation mode.
Right.
Yeah.
Hadn't played a game in a while.
Yeah.
And so I'm driving around, I'm like, oh, is this the game where you like pick up hookers? Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to drive the car. I kept running them all over. And so my tagline was, damn it, I keep killing all my hookers.
Very nice.
That's
and
awesome.
That was good. But for the most part, when I curse, I'm just dropping F-bombs.
I was saying I'm pretty yeah. much an F-bomb person. And my most used one is the same one that I use most when I drive, which is effing hell.
Yep.
A
yeah.
lot of that.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying to say.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so satisfying to I say. Like cursing. It's
I
fun.
Wish it were less yeah. satisfying to say.
Well, that's I've the mostly... reason why they're considered bad words.
I know. Why are they bad words?
I don't know. Yeah. Some puritanical people way back when decided they were bad words. I don't know. Did you guys have anything else to add to the gamer discussion?
No, I think we covered it.
Alrighty.
Play nice in the sandbox, kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
Be nice. Love everyone.
Exactly.
Peace, love.
Be kind.
It takes all kinds. Love people for their diversity. So let's go to another question. Again, everybody, if you have questions, comments, feedback, you can send an email to ign girlfight@gmail.com. And as another disclaimer, We are getting a ton of questions, so please don't hate us if we don't get to yours. And also, we have lots of people asking multiple questions, and I would ask you to please pick your favorite one. Because
Nicole's rules for asking questions.
Yes, these are my rules, because if you send me an email with six questions, I'm only going to pick one to read anyhow, and it might not be your favorite. So pick your favorite to send to us. So... Samuel Bernard, who says he has daughters who are 6 and 8. Yay. And he loves playing the PS3. And he sent us multiple questions, but the question that I have picked is, where is the disconnect between female game titles, as in those titles that are made specifically mm-hmm. for females, and actual female gamers?
Well, I think that, I mean, this is my problem with a lot of it, is that the majority of people making games are dudes. Which isn't, I don't think it's because of any discrimination. It's just like, it's a similar demographic breakdown to any other type job. It isn't just game development. So it isn't that so much, but when you have a development team made up of a bunch of guys who are like, oh, I don't know, what do you think girls want to do? And I also think there's a lot of them are super cynical cash-in mm-hmm. attempts. I mean, okay. I support people making games for targeted towards women, but I think most of them that have been made targeted for women suck.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's just the main problem, is not necessarily the topic or any of that. Like, a romance mm-hmm. novel game sounds mm-hmm. like, honestly, I'd probably play it if it were actually a good game and not right. just like
puzzles.
And,
yeah.
With a romance.
Yeah.
Shell
with the romance. Yeah. Yeah. I don't, if I wanted to read a romance book, I would mm-hmm. go read one.
Right.
Like, right, exactly.
Give me some sort of interactive story that, like, Heavy Rain, that would be cool.
Right,
yeah. Or, like, you know, these people should really just play Dragon Age mm-hmm. and just go through the romance stuff there, because mm-hmm. that
Please
was awesome.
Please don't put all those bugs in. That was my biggest problem with Dragon
Age.
Yeah. So,
But some of my
but favorite, the relationship in that was really, really well done. Mm-hmm. And I only did the relationship with Alistair, so I don't know mm-hmm. about the other ones. Although the other...
Oh, I slept with a couple people.
The other elf guy really...
Actually, I was a man, so I was a man whore.
Yeah. The other elf guy, I forget his name.
Yeah,
he was
the guy that swings both ways.
Yeah, he was trying to get with me throughout the whole thing.
Oh. So. I said, all right, why not? Morgan's going to leave me anyway, so I might
have some fun. I didn't know that when I was playing that, and I was like, I had Alistair, like, maxed out. Like, every time I went to talk to him, his thing would be, yes, and, you know, stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, let's go.
And then Morgan comes in, a spoiler alert, and says, I want to have a baby with your man. And I was like, no. And then she left, and I was like, like, oh my God, because she was my most powerful mage.
I had a baby with her.
And I'm just like, because she was my most powerful mage. And I was like, and my husband was like, well, why didn't you just go back to a previous save? And I was like, no, like I was.
That's your principles.
I know, exactly. I was committed to that relationship, and I was like, no. However, I did let him die in the end by killing the archdemon. It was me or him.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Self-preservation.
Well,
that's why I had the baby.
Yeah.
She was my original romance, and like I didn't sleep with the other guy until after she had.
Yeah.
Separated.
See, you know, and this is the sort of stuff, this is interesting stuff. So people make games like based around.
I was really sad when she left too, because she like said she loved me and was didn't want to leave, and then she left. And I was like, but if you don't want to leave, why are you leaving? Come
back.
I like you.
Yeah, I didn't get the love speech. I was playing as a female,
right.
obviously,
yeah.
So it was a little bit different. But it was kind of like, you know, I respect you, that type of thing. But mm-hmm. it wasn't quite as
interesting.
She was kind of cold throughout the entire thing, and I did what I could to kind of raise her relationship. Like, I gave her mm-hmm. any gifts that I got that were appropriate for her, mm-hmm. and
maybe she just doesn't like other women.
Maybe. And I, well,
she thought you played girly games.
Yeah, I didn't actually, go, kill her.
Montana.
We kill her mom.
Or kill her mom. But I got the book and said, here, I killed your mom. And she believed it. So, you know, I guess it worked. So anyhow, that was way off topic.
Yeah, sorry. This is why we can only read one question, is because we get caught up in
the answers. But anyhow, the point is, it's like, if there was a game that was like all about those relationships, relationship dynamics.
It would be really awesome. Really cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that would be very, very good.
Yeah. Maybe BioWare will make us one.
Please, BioWare. Someone like a mix of Caden and Alistair.
Oh, we've had another question from good old England. Aiden Dalby. I love the name Aiden. He's wondering what our favorite soundtrack to a game is, not including games like Guitar Hero. That's a good question.
I don't pay a lot of attention. How awful is that? I don't. The details of games, like, I don't focus on. It's like that overall experience.
I couldn't pick a favorite. Like, I like them, you know, and they're good background music, but I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh,
Plants
this is the most
zombies.
Epic soundtrack of all time. No.
The zombies are coming. Yeah, there you go. I really like the God of War soundtracks. They do a really good job of complementing the action that's
the
going
World of
on
Warcraft
there.
Does a good, they do a good job of
But for me, probably my really favorite one would be BioShock, and just the way that they work in all of the older music. I mean, it really just helps to set the tone.
I would
of
say
that game.
Fallout 3 now, if they had added more songs, because they repeat a little bit too often.
Well, that's what happens when you have 100 hours worth of game.
But exactly. Yeah, because those songs, I mean, I was singing them forever when I was playing. I was just like, da, 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 da. Yeah. Eventually, I turned it off so that my brain would.
World of Warcraft does a good job with that sort of stuff too, adding it on in here and there. So, yeah,
cool. Sure. So that's it. Aiden, hope you like our answer there. And this one, another person from England.
Oh, Katamari. Take it back.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, I totally forgot about that one.
Okay. That, I lied. I do have a favorite soundtrack.
That the theme song from that, oh, my God. Once when I hear one note of that, it is in my head.
I also really liked Bayonetta's.
Okay. I did not play Bayonetta.
Oh.
I only played it for half an hour and got mad at it. And
I played it for a couple levels, but I was trying to play it on normal, which is hard for me. Yeah. I'm not used to these kinds of games, and but I've committed to be playing it on normal, so it's going to take me forever, but one day I will finish it.
Sweet. Do you know that Sega actually sent people t-shirts if they could prove that they beat it on hard?
Wow.
My husband
I would never be able to do that. I'm not good enough with the combos. Not a fighting kind of girl.
I'm a button masher.
Oh, yeah, me too, which doesn't really work. dodge,
and anytime I have to, if I have to do defensive stuff, I'm host. I can't, I don't like
defensive stuff. That's the only thing that saved me in Bayonetta, was the fact that I could dodge pretty well, so.
Yeah. Okay, so another question from England, from Colm. Thanks, Colm, for letting us know how to actually pronounce your name, because I would have mispronounced it based on the spelling. So he wants to know what we think about games being released with multiplayer due to developers believing that the game will not sell without online functionality, when in reality some of them really don't need it. For example, BioShock 2.
Or Uncharted 2.
So do we think
multiplayer
is necessary?
Multiplayer.
I don't play multiplayer for the most part, because I don't have time.
I don't either, but when I played it with right, it was in the fall. However, it was really good. It was a lot of fun. So I may not play it every day, but it is a good addition. Whereas BioShock.
I haven't played the multiplayer in BioShock 2, but you know, just the fact that there was multiplayer in it, I was like, what? Why?
I would argue Red Dead as well. I don't know why Red Dead really.
They have multiplayer.
Yes. Yeah,
it's well, GTA 4. Why did they have?
Yeah,
you know?
Why did
you?
Yeah, I don't know. I could live without it.
And it would in no way influence my decision to play a game or not. Like, I wouldn't care. Like, to me, that's just like an extra bullet. It's like, okay, whatever. Who cares?
If the game is as long as a GTA or a Red Dead, you don't really need something to
extend it.
Your experience so that you're already getting.
Yeah.
A lot of hours for your money there.
Mass Effect Online.
Yeah, and no. I and even
I would not make multiplayer for Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, and even with games that aren't that long, like a BioShock 2, I think if you've got a good enough single player experience, then you really it's not necessary. And it does kind of irk me personally that. You know, multiplayer is popping up in all of these
games.
Because
it just feels sort of shoehorned in.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's like, well, we need something in here so that people will buy it and keep it, you know, instead of trading it in. And that seems to be multiplayer is their solution, but I don't know.
But honestly, like...
That and DLC.
Like, how many people keep playing the multiplayer for a game? Wait, I mean, besides
Call
Halo.
Of Duty.
Halo
I mean,
and Call of Duty. Yeah, those two. Yeah. Ones. Those are the only two that you're going to be able to find.
You know.
All shooters. Notice the trend.
Yeah. Yeah, so but I mean, Bioshock, it's still a shooter, but like, I doubt that it's got as big of a multiplayer audience as.
No, so. I doubt it.
So that's our question, that one. Another, my goodness, the British people just love us.
And we love you.
Yeah. So this comes from.
Was that Jess who was trying to get a British
thing? Yes, it was Jess.
There you go.
So if
anybody would probably take one. They
well, I'm married.
Awesome. I know, but you could just listen to them.
Yeah, that's true. I can listen to British men almost nonstop. Oh, and he's got a great name too, Pete Romeo.
What? That is an awesome
That's what
name.
He said. I don't know if it's real name
if it's
or not.
If it's not real, then I'm disappointed.
So he wants to know, what are our favorite old school arcade games?
Centipede.
And why?
Centipede.
Why?
So why, when I first moved to San Francisco and I worked for a marketing agency, and this was during the .com boom, and so it was, you know, so this was in the days of perks like crazy, and so, you know, we'd have the themed happy hour every Friday where they'd like bring in catering companies and have like the themed drink or whatever. And but then one of the perks on them, there was a keg in the lunchroom of Anchor Steam, which was very nice because we were right next to the Anchor Steam brewery. One of the things that we had were a couple of arcade machines that were Endless Play, even though this was a company that had nothing to do with video games. Mm-hmm. And Centipede was one of the ones in there. And there was a client that I particularly hated doing work for. I was a traffic manager, so that meant I was like making sure that all the various things that we were doing for this company were getting where they were supposed to when they were supposed to. But they were just a pain in the ass and high maintenance. So whenever I would get really mad at them, I would go play Centipede, and then I would take whatever hours I had spent playing Centipede and bill them to that client. My least favorite job for the week. So Centipede.
Shh, don't tell.
I know somebody who.
Ha-ha, Cisco.
Yes. I knew somebody. The developer that I worked at, Backbone Entertainment, they make a lot of kind of remakes of the retro games. So their kitchen mm-hmm. is filled with arcade games and pinball machines. And there is a guy, and I'm not going to say his name, but anybody who works at Backbone is going to know who I'm talking about. His favorite game was Centipede as well. And mm-hmm. he used to get so mad at that game. Like,
those
you
spider
could,
bitches, man.
He just... but he would, like, bang on the machine. And you could hear him like all the way across the building. Like,
and it has to have the trackball. I won't play it without the trackball.
So that was amusing. As far as, you know, I haven't played a ton of old school arcade games. Like, and I'm not very good at them, which is also probably why I don't play them very much. But, you know, I like Ms. Pac-Man. As far as an arcade game experience, I really liked the old Outrun, mm-hmm. where you stood up with the gas pedal on the steering wheel. And that could have just been because I was like 6 at the time and I was like, I want to drive, right. You know? So those are mine.
I think the only one that I remember playing anyway, because mm-hmm. I don't, like you, Nicole, I do not play them that often, was probably a... I don't remember which one it was, but one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games. Because I loved that show. Mm-hmm. So whenever I found one, when I don't remember where it was or whatever, but had to play it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed that.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Always play Donatello.
So next we've got a question from Josh, is wondering if we as girl gamers have ever encountered kind of the reverse problem that lots of guy gamers have, in that we were dating and or married to someone who wasn't into games, and has that become an issue?
My husband isn't. He goes in waves. He will sit down and, you know, like Fallout 3, when I brought that home and I was like, hey, this is the same people who made Oblivion, which he loved. And he was like, oh. And so then he was like glued to Fallout 3 until he finished it and spent tons of time in it. But then he will go like a year without even going near a game. But he doesn't have any hostility toward it. I don't know. We have a lot of different interests and things. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I like sewing and he likes woodworking stuff. And It's like, okay.
But anybody before him?
No, because I was
not
I was
gaming.
Already with him when I first started doing this stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My previous boyfriend was actually he was not a gamer, but he enjoyed Civilization, and I also remember him pre-ordering for his little brother for a birthday present Diablo 2. Like, and I had no idea what this Diablo 2 game was, and it's funny now to remember back and be like, oh duh, Diablo 2. But yeah, so I don't think it would have been an issue.
You
don't even know. You're like,
well, I haven't been married for right. that long, but I've been with my husband for 11 years, and he's the one that got me back into gaming from my typical teenage girl right. hibernation, as right. you put yeah. it. So I haven't even had the opportunity to have that happen to me.
Right. Hey, me either. So I'm sorry that we can't really answer this question for you.
Yeah. I bet to Jess actually might.
Jess probably does have some stories.
Yeah.
But she's not here. So yeah. next yeah. question.
But Jess, I have stories, but I'm not going to share them with you this week.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I think, I think that story that she told, was it last week or the week before, about her husband? Yeah.
Her ex-husband.
Refer to that podcast for Jess's answer. Mm-hmm. That's how she deals with it. She divorced him. So, question from Raul. Raul wants to know if we play sports games.
No.
Sorry, Raul.
Christine and I played Madden together.
Christine and I battled right. against each other in Madden this year for the Super Bowl.
And we were both going, what? What's happening?
Yeah.
We didn't practice
Well, except
before.
Then Nate treated us like
And
we
Nate
were...
was kind of being a
jerk.
Jerk.
I don't think that was the word we were going to use, and we love you, Nate. But yeah, I mean, he was treating it like I didn't know. I'm like, I don't. It's not like I don't understand how the game football works, but
I don't understand
Madden in ages, and
I don't understand the plays.
And I
I'm like, and I understand the Xbox controller. Thank you very much. I've played
I'm trying to
games.
Think. Is there any sport that no. I would say that the only sports game that I have ever played was way back on my Apple IIe, the Olympics game, the Winter and Summer Olympics games, and that was it.
Yeah, well, I don't know how sporty you would consider this, but I do enjoy Mario Golf. I mean, it's technically a sports game.
Sports.
You know,
you
I mean,
so,
it's...
So Wii Sports?
Oh,
I've
yeah.
played that.
Wii Sports.
That's fun.
I don't think that's what they're talking about when they're talking about
sports.
Yeah. And,
but it has the word sport in the title.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're doing sporty type things.
And you're actually moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Raul also has one of these like kind of really cute quick fire type things that we're going to do, which because I found it funny. So quick one answer to these questions.
One word answer or one answer?
Just a one answer.
Okay. Blurb.
Hugh Jackman or Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp.
Hugh Jackman. Well, no, Johnny Depp.
Well,
Hugh Jackman
Johnny Depp
is totally gay.
In Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one where they didn't put so much eyeliner on him. Hell yeah.
I guess Johnny Depp.
Okay. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Bacon chocolate. Both.
Oh. Both. I'm both. Oh. I am with you right there. Yes.
I would tell. Is bacon chocolate good?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it is really good.
Yeah.
Where can you get it?
I think at Whole Foods.
Okay. I'll check it out. Yeah. All right.
Rock music. Yes or no? Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Why not?
Rock music. That makes me feel like I'm talking to my parents.
Yeah, I don't know.
You listen to that rock and roll.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So this next one comes from Thomas. Thomas wants to know what our views or opinions of what we represent to male gamers out there. And he's not talking about like the teenage boys, but the older male gamers whose pastime is more of an experience than getting a bunch of kills. And his point is that women gamers may be quite common in our world since we're a part of it, but in the world of many gamers such as myself, it's honestly quite rare to find such a phenomenon or someone who accepts
we're a phenomenon.
It. Yeah.
Wow.
That makes me feel
Thanks.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've been a part of this world for a really long time now, having worked in it for the majority of my career. So it's, I guess it's kind of hard for me to.
I mean, I think that gaming together can be a really fun activity to do together. I mean, I hope more women like embrace it or at least willing to try it and aren't just dismissive of it as this like hobby for for teenage boys, because it's not.
Right.
And I think there are some very fun and valid entertainment experiences to be had there. So I don't know. I mean, I definitely like to encourage any woman that I have to give a game a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd also kind of like to say, and we're not the only ones by any stretch, but mm-hmm. going back to the topic we were talking about earlier, is, you know, we represent the nice female gamers. Like, we're not going to put you down. We're not going to, you know, berate you for playing Facebook games as, you know, some other gamers will. So, like, to me, I think we represent a more broad spectrum.
Or equal opportunity
of female gamers. Because we all have really different tastes and in our games too.
Right, yeah, among the five of us.
Among the five of us, yeah. So answer to that question. This next one comes from Will, and he said he's wondering, what is your interaction with other gaming press outlets? Which is your favorite to follow, and which do you like interacting with? Any stories about other outlets and IGN? Well, I've got plenty of stories about other outlets, but not in relation to IGN. Dana and I both worked for Ziff Davis, yep. which used to own 1UP.
Here's the thing that I will say is someone who, so I've been doing this line of work for almost coming up on a decade now, and it's a tiny, tiny, tiny industry.
Yeah.
And if you spend more than a few years in, you get to know pretty much everyone. So, yeah. I mean, I have former coworkers my former boss runs GamePro now.
Yep.
I have former coworkers at GameSpot, and in fact, and know Ricardo over there,
Yeah.
And for the most part, people are very friendly with each other because you don't ever want to be a jerk and cut someone off, because if you are then trying to get a job and that person is running things, then,
right?
They very well could be. It's a tiny, tiny.
Yeah,
tiny
yeah. Everybody's industry. Pretty friendly. I would say, it's like a friendly, competitive type thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. And we all used to work in PR as well.
Yes.
So we all did. Have kind of that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had to be nice
time
to
then. Yeah. You two did, but yes. Yeah, it's just a dumb thing because you also never know when you might be working at a place down the street. And
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's I personally don't hang out with a lot of those guys a lot. I mean, you see them at shows like GDC or E3 mm-hmm. or events, and you'll chit chat and that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. not, I don't know. I don't know if any of the other guys from IGN hang out with the other.
I hang out with guys.
Outlets,
well, one
very
guy,
much.
Giant Bomb, Brad Shoemaker.
Okay. Oh, Brad, I love Brad.
Yeah, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Brad lives out in my neighborhood. Two of my very favorite former coworkers are Giancarlo Varanini at GameSpot and Scooter / Terry Nguyen at 1UP. So, and yes. I love those boys. And I have worked with them. I've worked with Scooter at 3 different jobs now. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Soulmates.
Yeah.
Work soulmates anyway.
We were the youngest 2 people on Computer Gaming World when I started there.
Okay. So next question comes from Michael Glynn, also from England. And he wants to know, what is our favorite thing to have come out of England, whether it be gaming or just generally?
Harry Potter.
Oh, interesting. I'm trying to think of.
David Beckham.
Get past David Beckham's voice.
Oh yeah, his voice is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? It's probably a. These are completely on opposite ends of. They're not even on the same spectrum. Would be the original Office.
Oh, that's a good one.
And
put that up there.
Jamie Oliver. I love Jamie Oliver.
Another Ricky Gervais show. Love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yep. Ricky Gervais in general.
Ricky
yeah.
Gervais, I would say, put him up there.
But now
I also enjoy
Pilkington. Oh, my God.
So
Carl's funny.
Carl's awesome.
The British Jim Riley.
I also enjoy watching Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay as well.
All
yes.
The irate chefs who come out of there, Marco Pierre White and Gordon Ramsay.
So basically,
Ramsay
we love everything from England.
Yes.
I would like
that. Okay, this one comes from Rodrigo, and he says that he hosts a college radio podcast in he's from Monterrey, Mexico. And they talk, oh, you know what? This question isn't going to work because he's asking a question of Jess and Megan. But he has another one here that I thought was good. So he talks with a...
Sorry, Rodrigo.
With a, yeah, we'll save... I'll mark this so that we can save it for the next time. And but he's got a gal that does the show with him and says that she kind of gets nervous on the air. And he wants to know if we have any suggestions for shy girls who want to be on podcasts and how they can sound as relaxed as we do.
I would say practice.
Yeah.
It's just overwhelming at first, and you keep doing it, you get used to it.
Yeah, when I was first on, like, Game Scoop or all that stuff, I think I, in TRL, I barely talked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I don't want to bother anybody.
I don't want to sound dumb.
You don't want to sound dumb. You don't want to cut someone off. You don't want to do anything. And if you do that, you will never talk on the podcast.
Right,
so you kind of have to.
And at the end of the day, there's always going to be somebody out there who thinks you sound dumb anyhow. Yes. So.
Yeah. People are, well, they will hate you.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. You don't have to hate
them
back.
Will love you.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that I would say, because I don't know if it's just the two of them, but if it isn't, then I would go out of your way to just be sure that you're drawing her out, like if you notice her.
Yeah, like right. Give her a segment or something to do where
or
that she's comfortable
questions
doing.
Or be like, hey, so what do you think? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Woman.
Right. Hey, you, woman in the corner.
We should probably wrap it up soon, but we have time. Let's do one more.
Okay.
I don't feel like going back to work either.
Yeah. Let's just answer all the questions.
Yeah. Okay. So this one comes to us from Alonzo Coleman from Washington, D.C. And his question is, have you ever related to a game character in some big way, like thought while you were playing, oh, man, this character is totally me?
I guess the games where you can customize your character. Mass Effect, I don't know.
I would actually say that I didn't think that she was totally me, but I identified pretty strongly with Zoe from Dreamfall, The Longest Journey. Mm-hmm. It's just very normal girl, and that is an awesome game available for download as an Xbox original. If you haven't played it, I highly suggest it. It's like an adventure type game, really great story, very story driven. Not the combat's a little wonky, but it's one of those things where I love the story so much I was able to overlook it. So if you're looking for a lot of action, don't go download it.
Right.
But still a good game. And also Jen from Primal.
Right.
Was another one for me.
I don't know that I've necessarily identified with anyone, but anytime that I'm playing a game that has a good, strong female protagonist, I always definitely appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, even in a Lara type way, you know, even though she's so stereotypical and everything, and she's definitely gone through phases where she's looked a lot more bimbo-y, but just a female character that can take care of herself and get herself out of problems and not have to have the dude come in and save her.
Like Princess Peach.
Right. Princess Peach. I know that Craig was booting it up, and he was like, I wonder what the story is going to be about. And I'm like, Princess Peach is going to come in and kick some ass.
Oh my gosh. No. That would be awesome. They should totally do that.
I know.
Just to flip it on.
Well, wasn't there a DS game? Wasn't there a Princess Peach DS game where she was like the one that was?
I do not.
Well, I don't know.
I'm sure Craig would know. I'm pretty Craig sure that know. There was. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up for this week.
Let's do one more.
One more? Jesus, Dana. All righty.
Your boss will get mad at you.
Okay. Yeah, Dana's my boss. I have to do what she says. This one comes to us from Susie Richmond. And she wants to know if we have any funny stories about beating a boy in a game he thought he was good at until he played against you. I am generally better at Mario Kart than my husband, but it wasn't kind of like he thought he was awesome at it. I'm just better at it. But I got the ultimate validation of the fact that I was better than him because he said it in our wedding vows.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, we wrote our own kind of little messages to each other, and he's like, you know, you're the perfect match for me. You're smart, you're ambitious, you're cynical, and you're better than me at Mario Kart.
Excellent.
That is forever.
He also said that I was a better cook than his mom.
Oh, was his mom there?
Yeah, it was his
yes.
Mom.
Oh, dang.
How'd she take that?
She
didn't. Yeah. You're like, the wedding. I object to this wedding.
Yeah.
I object. suddenly it's Ace Attorney.
So, my husband's a good one there.
I don't think that my husband has ever claimed to be better at games, but it is always very satisfying when I can beat him over and over.
Unfortunately, and I'm dating Greg Miller.
Yeah.
And he's kind of better at me than everything. But
so far, you'll find
so far. I will find it one day and I will let you know. But I mean, for right now, I don't even play games with him really that often.
I bet you.
He's always playing something for review and I'm playing something I want to play.
Yeah. I bet you that you're better than him at Harvest Moon.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'm kicking his butt at Harvest Moon.
Well, and when I was working at OPM and we were going through our Soul Cali 2 phase, and I was not, but there was only one guy that I was routinely better than, but it would still be really, really satisfying when I would manage to beat him in a win. And you'd just be like, ah, take that. It's a good feeling, especially because we would often do ring outs, so it wasn't a matter of time or health, and we would just make ourselves indestructible, and then you had to do a ring out, and so that one was always it could go anyway.
Yeah,
and that was always fun. So
yeah, beating boys in general is fun.
Beating
people, anybody.
I don't like losing.
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't play multiplayer.
that's probably a good point.
I hate losing. You have to lose
a lot until you get good at it.
Yes.
And then you can kick some butt.
Also, I totally have a stain on my shoe.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
All right.
Your yellow shoe threw me off. Thought you were holding a banana. I was like, where did you get a banana?
No, I just have on yellow shoes that have a stain on them that it's not
and
coming
on that,
off.
On that note, I think
we're
going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, feedback, send them to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. Oh, and also, quick teaser. Not next week, but the following week. It looks like we are going to have our first guest episode, and our guest will be Brenda Brathwaite.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how you say her name. She is a really great woman in the gaming industry. She has been in the industry for forever,
mm-hmm.
basically. Like, she worked at Atari back in the day.
And Wizardry.
Yeah. She's done a ton of stuff. She does talks on game design all the time. So we'd like to solicit questions specifically for her for when she comes on in a couple weeks. So if you have a question for her, please send that to us and send questions for us as well. IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And for all of those of you who were wondering, asking, we have photos of all of us now up on Facebook. So,
and we also have some of, really, Jess should not be allowed near Photoshop because she's been doing some terrifying things.
Everything.
Yeah. You can see some of Jess's Photoshop work,
art,
which includes a terrifying Alistair picture.
Yes.
That one's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a little not safe for work. So, don't worry if you.
Yeah. Visit our Facebook page at your own risk.
Yes.
But anyhow, thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes if you like what you hear, and also review us. Oh, and also another quick note, we are going to be in the process of migrating our podcast feed over to IGN. Currently it is hosted on What They Play because we were all rogue about everything. And so you may have subscription issues. You know, if you're having issues, let us know, and we can have our engineering people fix them. But it's nice to know that we've got people to do our feed for us now, and we don't have to write it ourselves.
Exactly.
So, so that's going to be happening. So just a heads up on that. And thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.